You are holy, Lord. Lord. How many are glad that they're in the service one more time? Come on, give God a wave offering. If God woke you up this morning, God started you on your way, just tell the Lord, thank you. Come on, come on, just say, Lord, thank you. The Bible says that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And if you woke up this morning, you might have pain, you might not have what you want, but if you're in your right mind, can we say thank you?
And took with him 10 talents of silver.
and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elijah, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, so good to have somebody to know God, hallelujah. When he heard that he had rent his clothes, they said to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a yes, Lord. How many want to know as a prophet in Israel? That a man of God in Israel, that somebody in Israel can still get a hold of God. Hallelujah. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought. Wait a minute. He said, Behold, I thought. Who needed healing? Naaman. Just listen to the man of God and let him help you. Amen. He thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, Wash, wash, and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, 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 now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing on thy servant. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we acknowledge at this time that without you we can't do nothing. Lord, we ask you to search every heart. Lord, search every mind. You know what things we have need of before we ask, but you said, ask and we shall receive. Lord, we are asking you to send the word. Lord, send the word to heal. Lord, send the word to deliver. Lord, send the word to set free. Lord, send the word to clear confused mind. Lord, send the word to heal troubled hearts. Lord, we just ask you to send the word today, and we thank you in advance for what we know you're going to do in the church in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This is an amazing story. Amen. Leprosy. Leprosy was one of those diseases that eventually caused you to be an outcast. You couldn't be in normal society. You couldn't be with people. And just think, the maid was a servant girl. She didn't have much of a voice, but she had enough of a voice to know how to get a hold of God. She told her maid, her mistress, she said, if Naaman, my Lord, was back in Israel, back where the people of God is, God would heal him of his leprosy. Amen? Yeah. First one reads. Actually, before I read that, I want to read two verses of scripture before we go there. Let's go to Proverbs, the 20th chapter, and the 9th verse. And then we're going to go to Job, the 14th chapter, and the 4th verse. Amen. I just want to read these two verses of scripture, because a lot of times we think we can do something that God has to do. There are some things that take place in our lives that only God can do them. But many times in our confusion, we try to do what only God can do. Proverbs 29 says, "Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin?" Job 14:4 reads, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing?" So when it comes to life, many times we think we can do something that only God can do. So our message today is, you can't do what God has to do. Amen. Many of us are in situations and we've tried to fix it our way. But how many know you can't do what God has to do? And if we were to have a subtopic to that, it would be stop trying to tell God what to do. You can't do what God has to do. And we need to stop trying to tell God what to do. Isaiah, the 55th chapter, reads in the verses, it says, "Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his." We can't allow our thoughts to conflict with what God is trying to do. So we both let him forsake his thought and let him return unto the Lord, and the Lord will abundantly pardon. Anybody want to be forgiven? I wake up every day, Lord, I say, "Lord, forgive me. I didn't handle everything so well, so I ask God to forgive me." Amen. Then it says, "For his thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are his ways our ways." I just thought God would do it this way. He said, "Wait a minute, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways." So it's so incumbent upon us that we try to find the mind of God. It's so unnecessary that we try to find a direction that God is leading us. So he said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts to your thoughts, and so are my ways to your ways." So many times we think we know something, and the Bible tells us as men, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So many times we think we know, but I'm so glad we have a God that really knows. So we need to stop trying to tell God how to do it. We need to stop trying to dictate to God. We need to stop trying to align God with our will. And I heard Jesus say, "Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." We're to ask God, align my life with your will. Amen. And we need to say, "Lord, there's some things in my life that I just can't do." Any of you got some of those? I'm going to tell you the truth. I got some stuff I just can't do. So what I do is I bring it to Jesus. He said, "Come unto me, all you that are labor and a heavy laden." He said, "I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So there's some yokes I can't deal with. There's some stuff I can't fix. But when I take it to Jesus, I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to say, "Lord, if you do it this way, if you do it that way," I cannot dictate to God. Only God has the final say. Amen. So I said all that to bring us back to Naaman the leper. Naaman was in need. Naaman needed a miracle. Does anybody need a miracle today? Well, seriously, you need a miracle today? Then just do what God says. If you need a miracle, don't worry about what the prophets and all these people are running around to tell the evangelists to say. What did God tell you? Amen. That's why it's important that we learn to get into our secret closet. It's important that we learn to get to a place of God where I can speak to God. Then after I finish speaking, I can take some quiet time and let him speak back to me. So Naaman was in need. He needed a miracle. Amen. Like many of us, whatever the miracle is, God knows what you need. But Naaman had a problem. As we will go through the scripture and we'll read it. Verse 1 says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. And Naaman was somebody when he had a problem. Amen. Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, he was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. So in the sight of people, he was great, but he had a condition, even in his greatness. And the only one to fix that condition in his greatness was God. Amen. I don't care how high you get, God is always higher. I don't care how lifted up you get, God is always higher. So he said he was a mighty man of the Lord. Now, this title is one of those unique titles. Amen. Being a mighty man of the Lord. Only a few men in the Bible had this title. We know Jephthah had it. We know Gideon had it. We know David had it. But Naaman is the only Gentile that had this spiritual calling on his life. Because if you, when we continue with the story, we'll find out that Naaman's life was really a prophetic utterance of the future church. Are you with me?
Amen.
All right, don't get lost. Stay with me. All right, he was a prophetic utterance of the future church. His position made him great and honorable. He was a mighty man. Naaman had a lot going for him, but what he had against him was devastating. He was a leper, which meant that he had a horrible, incurable disease that would slowly result in his death. Ancient leprosy was comparable to cancer of today. No matter how good and successful everything else was in his life, he was still a leper. This same title of being a mighty man, once again, was applied to many in the scripture. Now, he was so mighty that when God had pronounced judgment on Ahab, when the king of Assyria came in, they believed that Naaman was the one that shot the arrow that killed Ahab. So he had a name of renown, just like David had when he killed Goliath. But still he was a leper. Amen. No matter how rich you get, no matter how high you get, we still have some stains in our bodies. We have some issues in our body. We have some stuff going on inside of every last one of us. Maybe I don't know what you're going through, but guess who knows? God. And I can't fix it for you. Amen. As much as I wish I had the power, there's some things that we as humans cannot do. Only God can do it. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So the problem with leprosy was a slow-eating disease. It had to be in its early stages because it was still in a normal society. He was still around people because when leprosy gets real bad, you are an outcast.
Yeah.
You weren't around people. So he was in the early stages of leprosy. And leprosy was a slow-eating disease. It would first on, you would have white specks and then, red specks that would turn white. Your hair would fall out. Then certain parts of your body would begin to fall off, the nose, the face. Amen. And got to the point where your fingers will fall off. So it was a slow-eating disease like our cancer of today. Amen. So he had this disease that there was no known cure for. And the only one that could help him was God. There was no physician that could help him. Amen. So he goes to the man of God and he asks him, now the king of Israel sends him what today, in the reading your spare time, would be the equivalent of $1.2 million to get this man healed. He sends him back to a land that he had just conquered. They had just finished taking the maid from Israel and gone, taking her back to Syria. Now he's sent back to the man of God. And the man of God said, he's seeking a quarrel with me. Amen. He said, I don't have no power to heal this man. He said, I don't have power to deliver this man. But I'm so glad in his hard times, there was a man of God. I said in his difficulties, That was a man of God. When he knew that he was in distress, he said, don't worry. I know a God. Hallelujah. I want to know, do you know a God? He said, I know a God that can heal him. He said, just send him to me. Amen. And that's going to bring us down to verse 8. All right? Verse 8 of the same chapter. And it was so when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he said to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a message unto him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman, now you need help, Naaman. The man of God is trying to tell you what to do to get your cleansing and healing and for you to be clean. How can you say, well, I'm not going to do what he said because I thought? Don't allow your thinking to conflict with what God says. Amen. The old saying is, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. But within this text, there's some healing stuff that the prophet is saying. When he says, go wash. Wash is the Hebrew word rakat. And rakat means wash. But if you say it in Aramaic, wakash also means trust in God. So he's telling the Naaman, the prophet, Naaman, the conqueror, the soldier, he said, listen, I want you to go wash, but I also want you to trust. You need help? I want you to wash, but I also want you to trust. A lot of us get baptized and we didn't wash. But how many of us get to the place where we trust? Amen. So he said, go wash in the Jordan. Now, we know the Jordan represents a whole lot, because when did Jesus get baptized? In the Jordan. When the children of Israel had to cross over to the other side, they crossed over the Jordan. Because the Jordan flowed down into the Dead Sea. So when Jesus, whenever your sins were washed and you were cleansed, all your infirmities and impurities flowed down to the Dead Sea. Amen. So he said you got to go wash the Jordan. Now, the Jordan, for those that have been in our Wednesday night Bible classes, the Jordan is spelled in Yoreden, Y-O-R-E-D-E-N, and it's the Yod Resh Delet Nun. Amen. I was telling our brother, evangelist, brother elder's wife, I said, man, I need to speak to your wife's father, because I know he can spell all this out for me, but I don't have that easy, so I got to do some research. Right? So the Jordan is represented once again by the Yod Resh Delet Nun. So the Nun means through faith. Delet means you are passed through this door. And Resh means you will be in the presence of the Spirit of God. Amen. And Yod means it's a divine power to transform you. So Naaman's problem, he's looking for a physical healing. The man of God gave him the antidote for a spiritual healing. But he couldn't recognize it because he was caught up in his own self. Amen. The problem that Naaman had is Naaman was full of pride. He had a great name. He said, wait a minute. You just want me to go get it? Well, don't let me get ahead of myself. So let me finish this verse, because this verse gives us a spiritual transfiguration that you will miss if you don't study. Amen. He said, then go dip in the Jordan how many times?
Seven times.
Now, seven is the Hebrew word Sheba. All right? So now, he says you're going to go dip, so you're going to have your life transformed. Right? You're going to wash. You're going to be cleansed and trust. He said, now go dip in the Jordan 7 times. 7 times is the Hebrew word Sheba. Sheba means an oath. Sheba means a confirmation. Amen. So he said, first you're going to go wash. You're going to be made clean. Then after you're made clean, you're going to go down into the Jordan and you're going to have a spiritual transformation. Then after the spiritual transformation, you're going to have an oath. You with me?
Amen.
An oath. Amen. And then he said, and thy flesh shall come again as it was. Now, when he said wash, Naaman was thinking a natural wash. But God was speaking about a spiritual cleansing. Amen. Let's go. I don't want to go ahead of myself. Let's go to Psalms 51 and verse, we'll read 1 through 3. I'll explain what he meant by wash. Remember after David had sinned with Bathsheba? He said, Lord, it's against thee and thee only that I have sinned. Amen. So now we're dealing with Rahab. We're dealing with wash. But the man of God wasn't speaking about a natural washing. He was speaking about a spiritual washing. So Naaman missed it because he was thinking in the carnal mind. That's why the Bible says the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So if we walk in the flesh, we cannot please God. So many times we are walking and approaching our situation in the flesh. But God has given us a spiritual answer, but we miss it because we're in the flesh. Amen. So Psalm 51, verse 1 reads, David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. He says, blot. Now that blot, if we go to the New Testament, it means to remit my sins. It means to forgive me. So he said, blot out my transgression. He said, now I'm guilty. I need you to help me. Amen. So I need you to blot it out. When you blot it out, he said in the book of Hebrews, your sins and your iniquities, he said, I don't remember them anymore. So David said, I'm acknowledging my transgressions. My sins are ever before you. But Lord, I need you to blot it out. Amen. Verse 2 reads, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and sin. So cleanse me is the Hebrew word tahara, T-A-H-E-R. It's the same word that Elijah used when he's dealing with Naaman. He said, you got to go to her. You got to go get cleansed. Cleanse from what? Cleanse from your sin. Yes, leprosy is a stain, but you got a greater stain than leprosy, and this stain will keep you out of heaven. So you need to be cleansed. I wonder, does anybody today need to be tahara? Does anybody Like many times we come to church, God has a spiritual word. come up and we look at everything in a natural way. So what God has intended to cleanse us and get us on the heaven-bound road, we miss the answer, the message, because we're thinking carnal. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So David gets angry at the man of God. Amen. Verse 12, he says, Lord, not a banner, but far better than this. In verse 13, his servant came near and spake to him, said, my father, you know how we always pride. He said, if he asked you to do some great thing, you would have did it. If he'd asked you to do something spectacular, you would have did it. Then why not just be obedient? Sometimes we need a servant. We need somebody to bring us down off our high horse. We need somebody to help us cut in sin. We need somebody to help us be humble. Amen. So he's going out full of pride, but the servant is talking to him. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. So verse 14 says, then he went down and dipped. Now, the man of God told him to go out and wash. Let's watch the scripture. The man of God said, go what? Wash. But now, David goes down and he dips. Right? But God did not, the man of God didn't say, go wash, but he realized that God was speaking to him when he finally got off his high horse. When he got finally out of his own pride to lead and guide him. Amen. The scripture said, God resists the proud. Lord, I thank you. Help me to be humble. But he given grace to the humble. So when David finally humbles himself, he goes down and dip. Now the Hebrew word for dip means to be immersed or to be baptized. Right? This is the Hebrew word for it. You can get send all this to your father to tell him to rip the mess up, right? Alright? So to dip means to be baptized. But what it means, because you trust God, it means you go in the water and get baptized one, but to come back out. But because I trust God, I go back in the water and I get baptized. I go in and I dip a second time, and I go in and I dip seven times.
Right.
And the scripture says, after he dipped, according to the words of the man of God, after he stopped fighting God, after he humbled himself, the Bible says that when he dipped a seventh time, when he came up, he was clean. His flesh was restored like that of a child. And then it says in the 15th verse, when he realized what had done, when he realized I got to get out the car, and now I got to realize he wasn't speaking a natural message, he was speaking a spiritual message. He went back to the man of God, he said, man of God, he said, now I know, thank you. Now I'm persuaded. Now I know there is no God, save the God that's in Israel. Can't nobody else cleanse me like he cleansed me. Can't nobody else make me whole like he made me whole. So I know that there is God in Israel. Well, how did you learn? When I was obedient, when I surrendered, when I stopped fighting God, when I surrendered my will to his, he said, now, from this day forward, he said, you can read the rest of this in the rest of that chapter. He said, when I go into the house of God, or our God remnant, he said, even though I'm going to be there with my master, he said, I'm not going to worship him because I realize there's only one God, and that God is in Israel. He said, I'm not going to keep trying to do it my way when I go and worship him. He said, God, forgive me. I'm just doing what I have to do, but my worship is for real. But my worship is not to a false God. I know that there is only one God, and that God is Jesus. I know that there is only one God, and him. like me, anybody make some mess, you gotta tell me yourself. I'm just gonna say, hey, David said, my sins and my transgressions are ever before thee, Lord. I made some mess. You know how I made the mess? Trying to do it my way. Not surrendering to God. Thinking I had a better idea. Amen. How many know sometimes when we just surrender to God completely? Stop resisting. Stop fighting him and say, Samuel says, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. When we get off of our high spiritual horse, we don't put all our titles before God. Hey, well, I'm here. No, just come down. Get off your high spiritual horse and be obedient to God. We miss God's blessings because we are so high and mighty. We need a good friend. The Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. How many know a friend loveth that? All times. We need a friend sometimes when we mess up. If you know somebody mess up, don't go at them hard, but help them. Say, you can go off track, brother. You're off track, sister. Now, what we like to do in agape, because we want to keep everything good and in order, because the Bible says, let not your good be evil spoken of, right? And don't let people misjudge you. So we like to say, well, brother to brother and sister to sister. That way they didn't eliminate any confusion. Can we say hallelujah? Everybody don't like that, but that's just how we do it. Amen. Don't misunderstand it when you do it that way. Amen. So when a lot of times a lady will call me, I say, wait a minute, I get my wife on the phone. Right? Because we live in a dangerous time today. Everybody in church ain't in church for the right reason. Just like you. So when you call me, I get my wife. If a man calls my wife, he gets me. That's just how it is. And the Bible says, out the mouth of two or three witnesses anyway, right? So when you counsel by yourself, you're already anti-Bible. Ain't no charge for it. Amen. But you need a friend, brother to brother and sister to sister, to tell you when you're off track. Now, they certainly go screaming and yelling. He just told them that if he had bid you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? If he just told you to do a little thing, wouldn't you do it? Sometimes it's a small, still little voice. Elijah was looking out for God in the great whirlwind, a strong wind, a fire, an earthquake. But God spoke in a still small voice. Stop looking for the dynamics and just say, Lord, speak. Speak to me. I don't have to be loud. I don't have to be in front of anybody. God, just speak to me. I need healing. I need deliverance. I'm not going to come back into the church, do all my shouting, do all my praying, and then leave out the door with the same problem that I came in the door with. I want to be, anybody want to be healed? Anybody want to be cleansed? Where you can't come in one way and leave the same.
Why can't I get the deliverance? Why can't I get the peace and the freedom that I need?
God always, of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How? You cannot figure that out. His ways are past. How unsearchable are his judgment, and his ways are. You cannot figure God out, so stop trying to figure him out. I'm going to tell you right now, every day I pray, Lord, I can't figure you out, but I need help. Because I realize that we're nothing but flesh. God, the Bible said, God declared the end. Now, all of you that's the people of God, how do you know what your end is? You're the people of God. You're fighting God. You're resisting God. You won't surrender. But he knows your end from the beginning. Right? God calls those things that be not. How many of you can do that? I'm acknowledging right now, Lord, I can do it. I'm just a man. But he declared the end from the beginning. And verse 34 of this Romans 11 chapter, this is where we really have to try to get out of God's way. Go to verse 34, please. We're closing this verse. It says, for who has? If you want God to help you, you got to try to get the mind of God. Amen. And in having the mind of God, you don't fight God. You can't do what God has to do. A lot of times we try to browbeat loved ones into getting saved. You can't do what God has to do. We try to make them come to church. You're going to do this. You can't do it. You got to do that. Move out the way and let God do it. You can't do what God has to do. Then you know how in our, you know, sometimes you are holy, Lord. You're just going to say that. You are holy. Right? You know, in our holiness, God, you said this. You said that. Stop trying to tell God. Stop telling God what to do and say, Lord, speak to me. If you ever humble, if we ever, not just you, me too, because every day I mess up. Every day I make mistakes. Amen. Every day I was dealing with some stuff with justice, and I was kind of hard with him. But you know, after I left him and I found out how bad he was, I had to shed a tear. I said, Lord, I was too hard. You know, I'm going to tell him myself. Right? I was too hard because I was seeing it from my perspective. And I failed to put myself in the other person's shoes to see it from their perspective. So you know what I asked God to do? Forgive me. Yesterday I was praying. Forgive me. Because I was judging it based on my perspective. But I was not in his shoes. Sometimes, Dale Cookbook, sometimes you have to take yourself out of you and see it from somebody else's perspective. You got to stop being so dull and so, you know, we got to drive and drive and drive. You need to say, Lord, just speak. Yes. You know, sometimes you know a loved one is messed up. Just go say, I'm praying for you and I love you. By the time we finish beating them up, they don't want to hear nothing about God. Seriously, you should have done this, you should have done that, you should have done that. The first time you should have, they already shut down. Right? Because they said, you know what they say? Here. We go again. But when you come with a different approach, when you come with a godly approach, God can get rid of all sin. You can't do what God has to do. If we all say, fail us, God, for we need to let God fix every situation in our lives. We need to stop fighting God. We need to stop looking at everything through such a carnal, natural mind. And try to step back and say, what, Lord, how are you speaking to me in my life? I've been going through the same thing over and over. I'm not talking to those that have repeated the same problem over and over. You still don't have the victory. The problem is not in God. Because the Bible says, in the day that you call on him with all your heart, he shall answer. So every time you go to God in sincerity and desperation, God answers. So the problem is not that God didn't answer. The problem is God didn't answer like you wanted him to answer. So you keep going through it over and over again because God did not answer. God did answer. But you didn't accept what he said. Get off your high spiritual horse and just say, Lord, have thy own way.